This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, coming up this hour, 2,392 new cases of COVID-19 in Arizona. We're going to ask Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema if she's satisfied with Governor Ducey's handling of the spike in cases. You will hear that this hour, so stick around.
A lot of issues in our country from coronavirus. We're also dealing with what took place in Minneapolis. We've seen the protests. People want change. Joining us now, ASU Associate Professor Dr. Rashad Shabazz. Appreciate you coming on the show today. So here's a question. I talked to everybody and anybody, doctor, about having a conversation in this country about race. And I think we need to have it's one of the most, if not the most important conversation we should be having right now in this country. And the question that a lot of people say is, especially people who are white, is we want to be involved in the conversation, but we're a little intimidated about what we should and shouldn't do and how we go about getting in it without offending and without trying to overstep. So we'll just ask you, how do we get involved?
It's a good question, and thank you for having me on the show. So the conversation around race is one that is something that Americans in general need to have. But for white Americans, one of the privileges that has been part of whiteness is that white Americans have not had to grapple with the realities of race, particularly in a negative sense. So, you know, white Americans can sort of live their lives and not have to really confront the awful, the ugly side of race, whereas for people of color, black people in particular, that has been an everyday occurrence. You know, the fact of blackness in the United States is that race has been at the cornerstone, at the center of our lived experience. So what white Americans need to do is that white Americans need to have conversations among other white people about race, right? And it's not so much about, you know, white people engaging in a conversation with people of color about race, although that can be fruitful. What does need to happen is that white Americans need to really start to talk to one another about race, to talk to their family members, particularly about race, and make race part of the syntax, part of the way in which white life is understood. That practice, that skill set, if you will enable white Americans to have a much more nuanced and nimble understanding of race. It will provide them with the kind of practice that they need to have conversations. And that will enable for the politics of race to filter into things like public policy in ways that are not anti-black, anti-immigrant, or abusive. So, you know, ultimately, white Americans really need to start talking with other white Americans about race and racism and what it means to be white in this country and how that impacts and shapes the lived reality of white Americans.
Interesting. Dr. Rashad Shabazz is joining us, ASU Associate Professor. So, you know, I sit here every day, do the show. I'm a white guy.
Very white.
Very white. I am pale. I went to California.
Haunt a room, you know, Doc. He could haunt a room.
So here's the thing that I talked about. It's interesting you say white people need to talk to white people about race. So I talked to some friends who are white about white privilege. And first of all, I've never liked that term. And maybe that's my fault because I didn't investigate what it really is, what it really was. It was just like a term that I think turns white people off. I think when white privilege is brought up, that term, people think, well, wait a second, I'm a white person who grew up poor. Where is my white privilege? And then if you really look into it, you know, my example of maybe white privilege is, you know, you're renting an apartment and you're a white person, and at the end of the month, you don't have the money. You go and you talk to your landlord and you say, listen, I need a couple days. Can I get it? And the landlord says, yes. Your black neighbor goes down to the landlord. He hasn't been able to pay his rent. And he asks, can I have a couple of days? And that person who is black is not allowed that extra couple of days. Is that kind of a decent example, or did I butcher the whole thing?
You know, that's a place to start. So let me talk about what white privilege is, maybe how it works. I'll try to do it in a way that's condensed and palatable for the listening audience. So when we talk about white privilege, what we're talking about is that white Americans have certain privileges. They might be economic. They might be in terms of mobility. They might be the privilege of being seen, you know, fully human, that communities of color, black people in particular, do not have. So the example that you gave about rent, right, that might be one of them, right? But when we're talking about white privilege, and if I could just sort of talk about it from a structural component, it's about how institutions respond to white Americans versus how they respond to people of color, blacks in particular.
Right.
So let's look at policing, right?
Okay.
The response to black people historically vis-a-vis the police has been a profoundly negative one that is detrimental to the public health of black Americans, right? Violence, incarceration, being profiled, so on and so forth. Because part of what it is meant to be black in this country is to always have this sort of haunting ghost over our shoulder that is constantly seeing us as violent, as perpetual criminals. And those are realities that white Americans don't have to deal with. That isn't to say that white Americans don't commit crimes, because of course they do. You know, it is something that many people in this country do across race and class and gender lines. But the way in which criminality in this country is always figured as a person of color, a brown and black person in particular, and the way in which white Americans do not have to deal with that is part of the privilege, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about privilege, we're talking about these sort of common assumptions about who people are, how they organize their lives, the value of their lives. And that's why the sort of language of Black Lives Matter is so important, because it is trying to make this argument that it's not that Black Lives Matter more, okay, but that Black Lives Matter enough that they should not be killed for misdemeanors or for walking down the street or for sleeping in their bed, right? And that those killings go unpunished. Mm. So, you know, white privilege is largely about the way in which structures and institutions respond to the lives of white Americans and the needs of white Americans versus how they respond to the lives and the needs of people of color.
Okay.
Talking to Dr. Rashad Shabazz, ASU Associate Professor, we've got about a minute and a half, Doc. One of the things that I say, if we're going to have a conversation in this country, we need to have a conversation. It's just talking to friends and family, but a real conversation is when we really start to have a conversation. I keep saying everybody's got to not make it personal, because I think when you talk about white privilege, white people start to take it personal. It's not about you as an individual. Like you said, it's about the structure of what has come before. And too often than not, everybody now, and this isn't everything, you know this, it's in sports, it's in politics, it's in everything. We take everything personal, and we've got to let our guards down and not do that.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to learn that, you know, the discussion of racism in the country is all about individuals. You know, so when people talk about racism and how it works and who is not racist, it all boils down to a person, an individual. You know, I'm not, he's not, she's not, so on and so forth. You know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, while bigotry is, you know, abhorrent and it is something that we should be mindful of, the real issue isn't about necessarily people's individual persuasions, people's individual feelings about people of color. It's about how institutions respond to them, right? Because that is where the damage comes from, right? Yes, there can be damage emitted by, you know, a personally bigoted cop or a personally bigoted teacher. Absolutely. Mm. They can cause profound trauma to another individual. Ultimately, when we're talking about how things work in this country and racism, we're talking about how institutions respond. So what I always like to tell, you know, my white students and white people who I talk to in instances such as this one, is I always like to tell them, your feelings about race are not on trial here. We don't really care about what you think about a particular group. What we do care is how said institution, housing and finance, banking, education, criminal justice, what we do care is how those institutions respond to people of color versus how they respond to white Americans. And that's where the rubber really hits the road. So it's not really about, you know, people's interpersonal feelings or those kinds of dynamics, although they are always at play, but it is ultimately about how large institutions and structures respond to people's needs.
Great conversation, Dr. Rashad Shabazz, ASU Associate Professor. Hope you come back on the show. We can continue the discussion another time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you.